Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Thursday, June 28th, 2012 meeting of the Code Enforcement Special Magistrate. We will endeavor to take up the cases of the people that are here, skipping over the others on the agenda so that you can go your way and solve whatever other issues are going on in the planet. The agenda. We need to, first of all, I gather the agenda is as produced? Okay. I've read the minutes prepared by the secretary of the prior meeting and adopt those as prepared. We need to swear in the officers that will be testifying today.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. You have to please the magistrate for the record.
Yes.
I would say that Lorraine Kennedy, Dwayne Thomas, Matt Lightfree, Charles Rich, Dan Baker, James Vaux, and Raymond Furring all accepted the oath.
Okay. Is this to prove that management knows who the staff is?
That's for the record. They transcribe in Texas, so
Oh, okay. They
don't know who's here.
Okay, what case do you want to take up first?
If it pleases the magistrate, we would go with CON 120479. Good morning. My name is Charles Rich, the City of Ocala. I'm duly appointed Code Enforcement Manager. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement, I'm certified in all four levels of training. I've been a Code Enforcement Manager for the City of Ocala a little more than 4 years now. I have 30 years law enforcement experience, and I'll be presenting cases this morning. 479. Excuse me. There's a case involving Officer Dan Baker, the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division, a location within the City of Ocala at 1544 East Silver Springs Boulevard, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 11031, removal of prohibited or abandoned signs. The parcel ID is 28339-013-00. Legal service was obtained on 3-9-2012 for the notice of violation and 4-26-2012 for the revised notice of violation, 4-26-2012 for the notice of hearing, and we posted the property on 4-24-2012 for the notice of hearing. Additional correspondence in your package this morning would be a Sunday's report on the business and a certificate of title. The summary of findings that Officer Dan Baker found this violation of the city's code and that there is a abandoned sign on the property and that the respondent is no longer in business at that location. Additional investigation revealed that Officer Baker first noticed the sign in 2009. We have photographic evidence of that. And that the code requires that the sign left over 3 years be removed. All attempts by Officer Baker to have the respondent remedy this violation have been unsuccessful and the violation remains. Part of your presentation, we've included some photographs of the sign in question. This is in the adjacent to the intersection of Northeast 16th Avenue and Silver Springs Boulevard. The first photograph is 3-2-2009. You'll see that this was a BP sign at that location. On 3-7-2012, we have additional photographs of the sign. Officer Baker is prepared to testify and answer any questions that you may have in this case. Give authenticated photographs. Staff has a recommendation if you want me to read that into the record. We also have representation here for this.
Okay. Tell me what your recommendation is.
Staff recommendation would be find respondent guilty of violating Code Section 11031, order to remove the sign and remove the poles in the ground, pay the cost of prosecution as assessed, all within 30 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day, and the city. To remedy the sign violation utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Okay.
This time I'd call Officer Baker.
Okay, two things I want to do. One, something I usually do before I take the first case and I forgot to. Just for anybody that's not familiar with the procedure here, we're fairly informal, but we do sort of mimic a courtroom procedure. We have the staff put on their various testimony initially to find out just what the case is all about and what they think the violations are. You, as a respondent or owner, are entitled to ask the staff any question you want to ask that has something to do with the case. I mean, pretty obviously, if we're hearing a sign on Silver Springs Boulevard and you want to talk about something down in South Pine, we may wonder, you know, what you're doing. But as long as you stick to the subject, you're going to be fine. You get to ask questions. You don't get to make speeches. Then when the staff finishes and you finish asking questions, you can put on any testimony you want to put on. And by then, it usually degenerates into a conversation of where are we going from here. We'll be as formal or informal as you want to be, and we'll pretty much give you all the opportunity that you want. We're not cutting people off and that sort of thing. So that's kind of where we're going there. Now, on these sign violations, my memory, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the elements of the offense is that there is a sign at a closed business location and that it's been there for more than 3 years. Is that it?
Yes, sir. I'll call Officer Baker to clarify that. I also have a copy of the code on the Telestrator, or it's on page, the bottom of page 28, the top of page 29 of your presentation.
Okay. I guess the backwards question is, the condition of the sign per se is not an issue.
No, sir.
The question is, has there been a sign there of a business that has been closed for more than 3 years? Go ahead, tell me if that's the answer.
That would be correct. In 2007, staff actually did an amendment to the code.
Staff does this now, huh?
Pardon me?
Staff does that now, huh?
Right. Well, they through the assistance of city council, got an amendment to the code passed, giving us an opportunity to get rid of or have disposed of all abandoned, conforming, and non-conforming signs. At that time, they placed into the code, giving the property owners an option that had conforming signs that did not have an active business at that location, an opportunity to install blank panels in them and allow them to sit for an additional 3 years. The issue behind this particular situation or this particular location is there's been no active business tax certificate at this location since 2005. When they changed the code in 2007, I addressed the issue, at which time the property owners spray-painted the sign white, thus calling it a blank panel. So it has sat there for now 4 years with no other activity at the location, no other businesses at the location, so we're using this opportunity to get the sign removed.
Okay, gotcha. So, again, it's not a question of the condition of the sign.
No, structurally, the sign is, I mean, it's not going to go anywhere unless somebody visits it.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, is there an owner or other respondent here that wants to come talk to us about this?
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning. If you'll swear the witness in, please.
Right hand. State your name and full address, please.
Bobby Dinkins, 101 Northeast 16th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34470.
Okay, Mr. Dinkins, tell me what your view of life is here.
Well, I was the respondent to the first citation, and what I did is I had made an appointment after Dan had pointed out to what we needed to do, the panels. Let me back up. First, I contacted a sign company to find out what the options were with a blank panel or a, and what they had suggested, which was, they said was city approved, was a cover.
Those bags that look like you put them upside down on them?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And so what we did is we ordered a cover, and in the meantime, I had made an appointment to meet with Ricky Hurst, the city manager, and I sat down with Mr. Hurst, and he said, I asked him, what would be a solution to this that would, you know, actually save us some money, that would, and he says, I'll tell you what, if you will paint the sign and so that it you can't see that it's BP or whatever, then that'll suffice and you'll be okay. And I said, are you sure? And he said, yes, I'm sure. So what I did is I canceled the order for the bag with Signs Unlimited, and we then painted the signs. And so this is the first we've heard of anything that's happened since that time.
Okay. Help me with the calendar problem. I mean, I'm sitting here looking like at a code that says you can't have a sign for more than 3 years without an operating business. The calendar's gone for more than 3 years. Help me with what I'm supposed to do.
Okay. I wasn't aware of the code.
Okay. That's the problem. Is it's been a, see, I the way I read the code is city council didn't want to make people tear down signs just because a business closed and it's for rent. It takes 6 months or a year to find another tenant.
Right.
Apparently, and the one that comes to mind is that pole that survived forever and a day in front of the breakfast shop there on the boulevard by Center State Bank, where they had that horrible frame up there for years. And apparently it was becoming quite a practice to leave signs up simply so you didn't have to get a new building permit, and you got these old antiquated signs standing all over the place. And so they enacted this ordinance. And it looks to me like intentionally or otherwise, probably otherwise, you have sort of stepped on that landmine.
Yes.
And you have a sign that's been there more than 3 years. The ordinance doesn't say I can forgive it if I have nice people in front of me that, you know, have a problem.
Right.
So tell me what you think you want to do.
One of the dilemmas is that we have intended to lease that property. And if we take, it's a very costly thing to take the sign back.
I understand that. That's why I'm asking you all these questions.
Put it back up.
And you may not be able to put it back up. You have to, when you put it back up, you're going to have to meet current code.
Right.
And current code, I think, I don't know in this case, but current code tends to be smaller signs.
Okay.
Tends to be. I don't know.
Okay.
But. I mean, I'm perfectly willing to give you all the reasonable time on the planet to take it down without fining you. I'm not looking for money. I'm looking for compliance.
Okay.
But I really don't see a way that I could possibly conclude that the ordinance hadn't been violated. I mean, I just have to close my eyes and say, you get a gimme, and I don't think that's likely to happen.
Okay.
So, you know, I need a plan is what I need.
Okay. Can I have the other
Mr.
property
Dinkins,
owner?
Come on up. Tell us what you want to say. I don't know whether this is a Dinkins or not. If you're going to testify, you need to be sworn.
I am not.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
Tracy Raines, P.O. Box 2821, Ocala 34478.
Okay, Mr. Raines, what's the plan?
Well, what I want to share this morning is we met with Mr. Baker June 8th of last year, and we talked about a lot of things, some issues on the property, and we came up with a plan together. And directly regarding the sign, he agreed to allow us to put a for sale or for lease and make the sign usable. And that's the way the sign looks today as a result of that meeting last year. So we do actually use the sign as it is today. And I get calls, I handle the calls for rentals on that property. And I get calls weekly from all across the country on that particular property. We have not come to a meeting of the minds on terms and price on that property yet, but it is, That number being on the sign is used. I'm just going to give you a rough estimate. I get probably 4 or 5 calls a week on that particular property. So I just want to go back to that June 8th meeting of last year. Mr. Baker agreed with us that we could put the for lease for sale and the phone number up there and make that sign a usable sign. It's not that it's not used. It is used. And when you were talking about the condition of the sign, you're exactly right. You can look at signs that are used by businesses in the city, and they're in worse condition than this sign.
Oh, I understand that.
That are occupied.
That's why I was asking the questions on the front end as to whether condition was an issue, and it apparently isn't.
You're exactly right. There's occupied businesses that have signs in poor condition that are in worse, you know, that should be a bigger concern. And I think Brad wants to kind of pick up from that point right there. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I'm Brad Dinkins, and what I...
Let her do her little song and dance first.
Okay, good, okay.
Can you raise your right hand,
yes,
please?
There you
do
go.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Just state your name and address for
it's Brad Dinkins, 101 Northeast 16th Avenue here in Ocala.
Okay. Mr. Dinkins, what do you have to add?
Well, I looked up the definition of an abandoned sign.
Okay.
And there's some language in there. It says any structure which has not been used for bona fide business purposes for over 6 months as part of the definition of abandoned sign. And we are using the sign for real estate purposes to help market the property. It's a marketing sign. And this, from what Tracy said, was approved by Mr. Baker in June of last year. The other thing is that I'd like to ask Mr. Baker how many complaints he's had from residents and folks in the community about that sign.
I cannot give you a specific number of complaints. I get complaints about signs all over town. In my defense, when it comes to abandoned signs and abandoned sign structures, the code enforcement office can demonstrate if needed. I don't have the information right now where we have physically taken down hundreds of abandoned signs, abandoned sign structures, poles. We've taken down signs or had signs ordered to be removed that have already exceeded that 3-year minimum with blank panels on them. With that code change in 2007, that stretched that additional 3 years. We're into 2012 now. Once those signs are identified, the clock starts ticking, and that's why we're here on this particular sign today. In my conversation with Mr. Raines at the location June of last year, I believe it was, it was not only the sign that was the reason we were standing there at the location, it was the condition of the entire site. The sign was a portion of the conversation, but there were a multitude of problems at that location that were addressed during that meeting that we had. And yes, putting a for sale sign on the front of to at least make it look like it was being used for something other than a white monstrosity sitting up there was agreed upon. But if we want to go to code, for sale signs and real estate signs within the B2 zoning district can only be 32 square feet, and that sign is a whole lot bigger than 32 square feet. Mm-hmm. So there was a concession made, but if we want to turn it, we can turn it in another direction, and I'd really rather not go down that path.
Okay. If you don't have any questions,
no,
I'll continue
ahead.
On. I was looking up the purpose and the intent of this chapter. Mm-hmm. The purpose and intent of the chapter is we're probably all familiar, but it goes on to say that it's this abandonment sign issue is to protect the health, safety, and welfare of its citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And big picture, I don't believe that we are harming the health, safety, or the welfare of this community by having that sign there. As far as we may not have a tax certificate, but I want you to know we do pay taxes on the
property. And he's talking about, that's a fancy city term for an occupational license.
Right, I understand, but it is producing revenue. That sign is producing revenue for the city and for the county because it is being taxed, and I realize that. But anyway, the reason I asked Mr. Baker if he'd had any complaints is that this group is sworn to protect the safety and the health and welfare of this community, and Mr. Baker could not come up with one complaint that he knows about that sign. Now, how will it affect us? Well, we're going to have to spend a lot of money to take the sign down. In these hard economic times, I would ask for some leniency in that perspective. It's not harming any of the people that are traveling down the road from a health perspective, safety perspective, or whatever. And then the other thing is it is being used for a use. If he's talking about the square footage, that sign is in portions. But I don't think we're harming the city. We're not harming the people of the city. It's going to be an unnecessary cost if we have to take it down. We're marketing it. We're hoping that the property will sell. So I think that as far as the definition of the purpose of this code, we're not hardship on the definition. Also, abandoned sign, if it's being used for a business purpose, which it has been over the last 6 months, we're using it to advertise the property for sale. I think we meet the spirit of the law, and I think we perhaps meet the technical side of the law. I don't know for sure about that. But we come here, we ask for leniency, we ask for common sense, we ask for fairness. I called an attorney and asked if they should come here to represent us. They were busy this day, a well-known attorney in this town. And he said, Brad, this is crazy. He said, you know, you probably don't even need an attorney, but maybe we do. I don't know. But anyway, Your Honor, I don't have anything else to say unless there's any questions.
Here's what I'm struggling with. The actual sentence of the code is a conforming sign, which means a perfectly okay sign, which I gather this was at one time, or sign structure, shall be considered a conforming abandoned sign or sign structure 90 days after a business ceases operation at that location. Now, I gather this is a gas station.
Well, it no longer is.
I know. It has ceased being a gas station. It's closed as a gas station.
Yes, sir.
And it's been more than 90 days.
Okay.
And then it's been standing there for more than 3 years.
Right.
So you literally meet the definition.
There's an exception in there, like there is most everything, where it says down here, abandoned sign. It gives the definition here. It says any sign structure which has not been used for bona fide business purposes for over 6 months. But let me just add
over
this while
months.
We're at it, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. I don't know that this, you know, y'all haven't asked us to take the building down at this point. You've asked us to take the sign down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really see, you know, where the building's not causing a problem to the city, the sign's not causing a problem to the city or the people of the city. I don't know why the sign's being picked on, so to speak. We're not hurting anybody.
Understand.
Rules are, and the other thing is, there is an exception. This sign is being used for a bona fide purpose right now. It's got Dinkins, well, it's got Felice up there and a couple of phone numbers.
Yeah.
And so it is being, that's part of the definition.
Okay, here's my problem with that, to tell you the truth. If the owner putting up a for sale sign on an otherwise unused sign brings it into compliance with the code is so easily evaded by that nominal act as to wipe out the code. I mean, everybody, you're going to be, I mean, I know you got one coming up next. It's the little ice cream shop behind it. You'll be putting a for sale sign in that one too. And then the people next door across the street at the old cafeteria, they're going to be putting a sign up there. And now we've got a whole central area on the main drag of town covered with unused properties with signs hanging all over the place. And if you don't think that impacts on the quality of the neighborhood and the value of the properties to have all this concentration of all these obviously empty structures and big blank signs up there, and I think you know better than that one, that the appraisers will take that into consideration when they start valuing these neighborhoods and how they can hang together. That's the only question I got. And I'm willing to give you a ton of time. Don't worry about that. Yeah. We're going to solve that problem.
Are you going to give me the money as well to
take
it down?
I'm not giving you the money, no.
Okay. But let me ask this question, because we're trying to focus on this piece of property, not the ones up and down the boulevard
on
Pine
Street. No,
Street.
This is for the community at large
because
and what
happens to neighborhoods.
Because
this particular site, there is zero complaints on this particular site.
This is not a complaint-based statute.
Okay.
If there was no complaints whatsoever and they drove by and saw it, they're entitled to cite it.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. So if we put an operating business there, we can use
You're
the sign.
Fine.
Okay. Would you allow us to
sure,
do that?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. In your final ruling, if you'll allow us to do that.
Yeah, what I'm going to find, unless something changes my mind between now and the next 2 minutes,
right,
is I'm going to find you violated the code. I'm
right.
going to give you 90, 120 days, something like that,
right,
to either get an operating business in there with a permit and a proper sign panel up there,
okay,
or take it down, one or the other. Your call.
Okay. And when we, what type of an operating business?
I don't care. As long as it meets the zoning. And
okay,
you get an occupational license for it.
Okay.
That's the cure.
Okay.
Which is probably a lot cheaper than taking down that sign and running the risk of building permits later.
Right. Okay. I don't know if I don't know that there's anything else to say. I just
tell me about what time, you know, what time window. If as your realtor tells me he's getting all these calls, I would really prefer you find a real tenant that's going to stay.
Right.
Okay. Well, give me a window. 120 days? 180 days?
Well, I mean,
I don't want to force you into creating a phony business just for the sake of humor in Chester, okay?
Right, right. I mean, if we can get 120 to 180 days, that would be great. I think most of the calls, we have had calls, people wanting to lease it, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever you can give us would be appreciated. And
not that it bears directly, but I'd like to know the answer kind of thing, because it might make a difference to me. Yeah. I mean, historically, the reputation of that parcel is that it has a contamination problem. Is that a problem in terms of renting it to anybody, or?
No, sir.
No, I think
that's not an issue anymore?
Yes,
gone, gone? That. Okay, yes, good. Sir. Okay. So that's not an issue.
And the other thing is, we've spent money putting the tiles back on the building, taking uh-huh. the old dilapidated fence down and so forth, and we've tried to do whatever, respond in every way that we think's, you know, reasonable and fair and, uh-huh. and makes common sense. And so, you know, we want to be a friend to the city and uh-huh. the people of the city. So
yeah, we're not here to beat up on you.
But as being cost conscious, we just don't want to spend that money right now to take that.
And that's not
thousands
and that's
of dollars.
A biggie. That's going to be, you know, no minor thing to take down and to put back up.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
But I inquire.
Sure.
Mr. Dinkins, have you had any costs or quotes produced that tell you what it's going to cost to take that sign down?
We've gotten some quotes, and I don't have the numbers with me. I don't know. I really don't want to take it down, to tell you the truth.
And we've also indicated here in this testimony that. No one ever told you about this sign code, and that you had no idea that when the 3-year mark hit here, that sign was going to have to come down. This is the first you'd heard of it.
When was that, sir?
Testimony from him right there, that he had no idea about this code.
Well, that's true of him.
When I sat down with Rick Hurst, I asked him.
You'll have to step up his testimony.
Okay.
Well, let me just share this.
You had no idea that this sign would have to come down after 3 years, according to the sign code?
You don't, to me?
Yes, sir.
I don't know the time frame. I really don't know the time frame. And I would like to add this. I believe
Did
that.
Did you just answer the question? Did you know that the sign would have to come down after 3 years?
If it's written in your your report here, then I would be aware of it.
It is.
If it's in the report.
It is.
But it's a.
So you really have taken no action, according to your testimony, to alleviate this sign on the property.
Let me share with you, sir. We don't need to be combative here. First of all,
I don't want to be combative. I'm just trying to get a couple of answers to some questions.
Okay. When my brother, at the request of my dad, met with Mr. Hurst, we thought at the time when we spent the money to paint the sign that it was a dead issue, that it was all over. As far as I know, when Mr. Hurst gave his word that this will take care of the problem. And I realize the city manager's not here anymore.
Well, it takes care of one problem, the blanking out of the panels.
So we were under the impression, I believe, Bobby, would you come? Could he come up here, Mr. Your Honor? Is that okay if he comes
here? Yeah,
sure. Does he need to swear in again? Or?
No.
I don't know, Bobby. Were you under the impression that everything was taken care of, or did you think there was more things you had to do with the sign?
No, because when I spoke to Mr. Hurst, I said, is there anything else that I need to do? He said, no, this will take care of it. So, you know, you take upon the word of the city manager that there shouldn't be any more problems. And
thank you. This time I called Officer Baker up.
Would it be okay if I finish, or you want?
Yeah, let Mr. Dinkins finish. Let's
so
take turns.
We you know, there's got to be some respect for the city officials that make these decisions. And we did spend the money to go ahead and alleviate the problem. Mm-hmm. And we again, Mr. Hurst is not here, and so I don't know if, I initially felt, how can Mr. Baker come out here and try to tell us to do something that would already been set up and cleared up and cleaned up and I thought finalized. So anyway.
Okay, I got the drift.
Mr. Baker. Explain to us the timeframes involved with removal of an abandoned sign. Basically, how long are you allowed to have blank panels in it?
3 years.
After 3 years, what is the remedy?
Property owners are notice of the violation. Property owners given 30 days to bring property into compliance once noticed.
So the sign has to come down?
In accordance with the code, yes.
And they have to come down within 30 days in accordance with the code?
In accordance with the code, yes.
Okay. You know, as part of my closing, I would just say that what they're saying is that this sign is no problem. Mm-hmm. And that its abandoned sign structure here is no problem. In fact, it's being used. It's not being used as a real estate business. It's being used to advertise that property as for sale. I would contend, and can verify if we had known that we were going to be confronted with this issue, that we have taken signs down all over the city. We've taken abandoned sign structures down. We've taken down signs of businesses that have not been in business for more than 3 years. Consistent with everything that everyone else has had to do, I think should be applied in this case as well. And that is our argument. They claim that they didn't know anything about it. Well, we've brought it to their attention. We've discussed with them on numerous occasions what would have to be done to bring the sign into compliance. At that time, they didn't like it, and they came down and spoke with the city manager. He said, well, painted. That was concession one. They didn't have to put blank panels as everyone else is required to do. They could have put a sock on it as others have been required to do. They chose not to do that. They got a concession by painting the panels out as white. You can still see BP on there, which the intent when the committee, the citizens committee and group, designed this code specifically for this reason. When a business goes out of business, after a certain period of time, they take their signs down. We're going to be confronted with the same issue on the next case with them, and it's a sign that doesn't even have a for sale in it.
Okay.
I think that we've met the burden here. We've met the intent of the code by asking that the sign be removed, and we respectfully submit our staff recommendation to the magistrate.
Anybody else got anything else to tell me before I start thinking? Just so that I am clear in my mind, I want to hear the staff recommendation again.
The staff recommendation is find the respondent guilty of violating Code Section 110.31 in order to remove the sign and remove the poles in the ground, and two, pay the cost of prosecution as assessed within 30 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day and the city to remedy the sign violation utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Okay.
No more questions, Your Honor. I just would like to just make one last statement.
Sure, go ahead.
It's, we look at our country at this time, we have local government, and the local government's responsibility is to protect the citizens and to aid the citizens. And I just think if there's not an ability to make concessions that are going to help and aid the citizens of this town during a period of time where we're going through financial difficulties, we're going through recession, and yes, there may be a code that may do this, but is this going to harm that citizen in the future of conducting business, or will it put them in debt? Or this? I think, you know, as a country, we need to start locally. We need to make concessions locally and be an example for federal. You know, we need to take care of the citizens, and I think you guys are in a position to make a concession that will help us as a citizen.
I understand.
Thank you.
I find it ironic. I'm going to give you a lot of what you want. But I find it ironic that a family that has such a reputation of being fiscal conservative, strict constructionist is asking a court to ignore a statute. That would be judicial activism. I can't. I mean, you've got a violation, and I'm going to find there's a violation. I'm going to give you 180 days to either take it down or put a business in there with an occupational license, one or the other. And I'll tell you in the same breath that compliance dates can be extended if you can come back and show some Now, it's more that coming back for an extension means something more than just leaving it like it is and then asking for another 6 months. I mean, there has to be, we got a lease, we got a contract, you know, something that's going to be a realistic deal. And I don't want to put you under such a gun that when a potential buyer or tenant finds out that this exists, that they beat you up around the head over your price because they know you got a gun sitting at your head. And you know, we'll work with you on that. But I think we need to move this on towards a property occupied by an operating business, or no sign, one or the other. So that's going to be my ruling there. Adopt the staff recommendation, but put a six-month window on it. Okay, so that's my order. Next.
Please, magistrate, we move on to case CUM 120529.
Okay.
This is a case involving Officer Dan Baker, the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division with CLD Properties Limited. The location of this violation is 20 Southeast 16th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 11031. Removal of prohibited or abandoned signs. The parcel ID is 28339-013-01. Legal service was obtained on 3/30/2012 for the notice of violation, 4/26/2012 for the revised notice of violation, 4/26/2012 for the notice of hearing. The property was legally posted on 4/24/2012 for the notice of hearing. We've included a copy of the SunBiz report at this location. Officer Dan Baker found this violation of the city's code and that there is an abandoned sign on the property. Respondent is no longer in business. Additional investigation revealed that Officer Baker first noticed the sign in 2009. Code requires that a sign left over 3 years must be removed. All attempts by Officer Baker to have the respondent remedy this violation have been unsuccessful, and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included photocopies of this location and this sign. Staff recommendation be to find the respondent guilty of violation of code section 110-131 in order to remove the sign, remove the poles in the ground, and to pay the cost of prosecution as assessed, all within 30 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day, and the city to remedy the sign violation utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. This time I call Officer Baker up to the stand.
Why don't I just adopt the testimony of the prior hearing? Is it going to be any different?
No, sir.
Okay.
Is there any difference in the testimony, Mr. Baker?
Okay. I'll adopt the testimony we had from Mr. Baker earlier. Gentlemen, do you have anything different on this property than the front property? You're still under oath,
again.
Mr. Dinkins.
I'm sorry.
You're still under oath, Mr.
Oh,
Dinkins.
Okay.
So proceed.
The pictures that he showed you do not have, and I think it's been 3 or 4 months that we've had for lease or for sale or whatever phone number, just like we have on the
right. I can see it.
Oh, okay, good, okay. And I, you know, we weren't asking for special treatment or judicial
special
activism on that one, or am I going to ask you for that on this one? That's why I called to your attention part of the definition of an abandoned sign, because there are areas in the definition that you can cling to or you can reject or whatever, but the issue that I am clinging to is that the sign structure is being used for a bona fide business purpose for over 6 months, whatever the case may be as far as the time frame. I'm not sure, but I believe that it's a legitimate business purpose to have a for lease or for sale and a phone number on a property that you're trying to sell, that the owner is trying to sell. That's a legitimate business purpose, and I believe that we can pull out the dictionaries. That's where I'm appealing to you. And so I'm not asking you to do us any judicial activism type favors or whatever the case may be. Please.
But see, look, you've made my point. You didn't put the for sale or for rent sign up there until the city came and visited you. Then you go put a little for sale or for rent sign up there, and suddenly you say we're not in violation of the code. And if that's the case, the code's meaningless.
Well, I don't know who put the definition in there. I wasn't around when that happened.
Your city council did.
Okay. So, you know, this whole deal, right. And so we said, okay, if we're in violation, what do we need to do to not be in violation? So that we thought that was part of the remedy.
But the code contemplates an operating business if it's going to be on the sign, not an effort to dispose of the real estate itself.
Okay.
That's what the code says. When it closes for more than 90 days.
Okay.
So it contemplates an operating business to have a sign.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Well, you're not an operating business.
No, I understand. We're not. I agree with you. I agree.
If that's the intent, then that's fine.
I just read that in the definition.
No, I understand.
If it doesn't apply, it's okay. It's all right.
Okay. I mean, I'm just trying to tell you what I'm faced with.
I know. All right, thank you.
Anyway, I'll make the same ruling in this case I made in the prior one. Okay. Gentlemen, go find us some tenants.
Okay.
Thank you. Who's next?
Please, Magistrate, we move on to CON
513. One moment. Give me a break. Okay, gotcha.
This case involving Officer Dwayne Thomas, the City of Ocala versus Celie Mae Ford, care of Brenda Russ, 527 Southwest 15th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 82-181, the definition of a dangerous structure, 82-182, dangerous building declared a nuisance abatement required. The parcel ID is 28461-000-00. All certified mail has been returned. The property was posted on 5/15/2012 for the notice of violation and 5/18/2012 for the notice of hearing. A structural inspection was required at this location, which scored 15 and dilapidated by Officer David Thompson of the City of Ocala Building Department. Yep. Additional correspondence is a copy of the Les Pendants, a judgment, and our utilities department's billing information.
Okay, let me get my brain wrapped around this. This is on Martin Luther King, block and a half off Martin Luther King, between State Road 200 and the Boulevard.
And page 3 of your presentation is the map at the location?
Yeah. Martin Luther crosses 200 there at the, was it a SunTrust Bank and a gas station? And so we're coming up there, and we got the funeral home, and then we got the park with, it's a veterans park, is it a veterans park? It's the Martin Luther King Park, right?
It's immediately after the park.
Right, okay. All right, I now know where we are. Go
for
ahead.
For the record, that was Officer Thomas.
Okay. Okay, let me look at the pictures now that I know where I am. Okay.
Any additional license requirements would be, we would require a permit to repair or demolish the structure.
Okay. And what time frame are you proposing?
If you want, I can read the staff recommendation.
What time period do you want the permits pulled in?
We have the same request on this as we do on all of them, within 30 days to pull the bring it up to current Florida building code within 180 days.
Okay. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak regarding this parcel? Come on up and visit us. Okay, if you'll be sworn in by the secretary, please.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Can you state your name and address? For
Brenda Russ, P.O. Box 4721, Ocala, 34478.
Okay, Ms. Russ, what do we have here?
I'm not here to dispute any objections of the codings or anything like that, because I understand how it is dilapidated. But it's called a nuisance property, but it's still a home to some people.
I understand.
Still living there, you know. So my objective here today is to let you know that I'm an heir of the property. I'm not the owner, but I've been paying the taxes on it since 1988.
Ooh.
And my thing is, I have other family members, but nobody wants to step up to the plate.
I understand.
I know the plate. I haven't collected rent on it in years because it is in bad repair. Mm. And the lady, the patching you see on it now, the lady who lived there for 50 years, she's been patching it up herself.
How old is
and
she?
So I had spoke to her husband and told him they're going to have to move because they're going to knock it down. Because I really cannot, I'm a dialysis patient now. And my income comes from my day-to-day living. I can't afford to repair it. I did let you know that I'm not ignoring the sightings. I did try to find somebody who to knock it down for me, but the minimum they wanted was $2,500.
Yeah.
And then my thing here today, let you know that I just cannot afford to repair it.
I'm going to solve your problem. I'm going to solve your problem.
I don't know how to do that.
Okay, let me ask you this question. First of all, how old is the lady that currently lives in the house?
She got to be almost 70-something.
And she has a pontoon boat?
No, it must be
somebody. Well, there's a pontoon boat in the picture.
Well, no, she doesn't live in the house now because she's living with her daughter because she had several bypasses.
Okay.
So she got a daughter that stay in the house, I guess, to protect the little stuff that she have in the house.
Okay.
Somebody, I think, is parking on the property. It's also a big Esplun truck be parked there, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's driving that truck,
okay,
but it's parking on the property, but it's not. She doesn't own that.
Okay, let me explain to you where we're headed and how mm-hmm. we're going to solve your problem.
Okay.
Okay, here's the deal. All right, there is a violation. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
You acknowledge that. So I'm going to adopt the staff recommendation. It gives you two choices, and then let me tell you what happens.
Okay.
It gives you the choice of either demolishing the structure,
right,
which costs you $2,500,
right,
or it has you go get a building permit to bring it up to code, which will cost you a whole bunch more than $2,500.
Right.
Okay. If not, the city will go in and bid out the demolition, which is probably going to be less than you can get it done for, because they do it all the time. They have regular demolishing crews, and so they will, if you do not fix it up within the time period, they will go out and bid out the demolition, clean the property off, lien the property, and then at your leisure you can kind of make payments on it if you want to or whatever. You can put it up for sale as a vacant lot, but you will not immediately have to come out of pocket on any money.
Okay.
Okay. That's the drill.
Okay. So they put a lien on the property, right?
They'll lien the property. Okay. And whether or not they ever enforce that lien is up to the city itself to decide what it wants to do.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming by.
All right.
Okay, so ordered.
Please, the magistrate, we have some representation here from a gentleman on the consent agenda for noncompliance at the...
Okay, the Massey hearings?
Six. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Which one?
CON 120593. From the city side, I can simply attest that we don't have compliance in here, that we have an affidavit of compliance. I don't know what they're going to request or ask for.
Okay.
I can bring the case.
Okay, let me make sure my ears work. You said you have an affidavit of non-compliance or you have an affidavit of compliance?
We have an affidavit of non-compliance.
Oh, non-compliance. Okay,
yes,
I was
going
to say, why would we be here if we have an affidavit of compliance? Okay. All right. Do we have the icon so we can look at this baby?
Yes. If you would, well, of course, we didn't know they were going to show up today. So all I can do is if you can switch over on your blue box to the telestrator.
Let me just walk around.
I can show you the previous.
Let me see what I'll probably remember the case once I see the parcel. Keller Hills.
Bringing it up right now.
How long ago did we hold this hearing?
This would have been the last magistrate hearing.
3 weeks ago.
Yes,
that's
sir.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
I can bring up some more photos if you'd like.
Yeah, show me what the real problem is. That's not a big
the real problem is the pool.
That's what I thought. Okay.
I'm just cycling through the pictures because. Unfortunately,
we have some big bushes and they've kind of grown along with all of everybody else.
Right. Overgrown.
I remember this one. Okay,
gotcha.
Pool. Okay. Was it you guys or was it somebody else that put that framing in there?
This was us previously, but obviously we're going to have to go back.
Okay.
And do it again.
Okay, so this was a repeat violation?
No.
It's
going to be if they don't... take care of it.
Okay. But you put a frame over a pool when there wasn't a violation in effect?
No. We have I misunderstood your question.
Okay, so this is a repeat violation.
Let me back it
back up
here
and, tell me
and
the story.
Find out. I'll have to tell you for sure in just a moment how many violations we've had there. 28, 18. This was the first violation.
Okay.
And trying to determine whether or not we had a less penance and a judgment, a letter from the owner. This is not a repeat violation.
Okay.
This is an individual who was having problems with the foreclosure. If you recall, he testified.
Mm-hmm.
I had the cases.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
He had a problem with the bank.
No
not
doubt.
Taking.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
Not taking responsibility for the property.
Okay.
Of course, there is a case now.
Sure.
Provided in Ohio that says the bank is responsible for the property.
Case in Ohio? Why do I care about
a federal
case
in
Ohio?
In Ohio.
It's Ohio.
Banks were claiming under this case that they had no authority to go on a property, and the Federal District Court of Appeals held that they did have.
I don't have a bit of doubt in my own mind that a bank can walk on a piece of property to remedy a
code. At any rate, he's here to turn for his non-compliance here.
Okay. All right. All right, sir, come on up and talk to us. Tell us what's going on. Be sworn in, if you will, please.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
Robert Greer. The address is 2818 Southwest 20th Avenue, Ocala.
Okay, Mr. Greer, what's happened in the last 3 weeks?
I know we had talked on May 31st that the two biggest issues was the standing water, which is in the pool,
mm-hmm.
and the debris, which is the structure built over the pool. I thought that the bank put the cover over
it. They did.
Okay, so okay. It wasn't the city.
It was not the city. That's what I was trying to think.
Yeah.
I was thinking I needed a trellis in my backyard.
Okay.
If I didn't have a violation, I'd still have the city come by and build it for me.
And as I said, the bank doesn't have their attorney here, but as I said, the pool area is padlocked. We can't get into it. All the locks have been changed. The house is scheduled for a foreclosure sale on the 11th of July. There's really nothing I could do short of breaking into the property. So I just came to tell you nothing's really changed, but hopefully in a few weeks.
What's our compliance date, gentlemen? What's our compliance date on this one?
I'd have to look. Dan, do you know it offhand?
Speculation. It was 14 days to get the pool covered and cleaned and get the property cleaned
so
up.
We're right on top of it.
The non-compliance or the compliance inspection automatically generated, so that's what generated the affidavit of non-compliance.
And what's your scheduled sale date? July what?
11.
So the certificate of title will come out on approximately July 21st. 10 days later.
I hope.
It happens very routinely in 10 days. What day of the week is July 21st?
July 21st is a Saturday.
Okay, so two more days takes me over to a working day is 23rd. Anybody have a lot of heartburn if I amend the order, move the compliance date to Monday the 23rd?
Well, you know, my only issue is that we have an open pool there.
I understand, but he isn't going to do it.
He's not going to do it. He's not responsible to do it. The bank is responsible to do it.
Is the bank responded in this case? The
bank has not responded. That is why I would like to take action and to have the fine assessed.
By taking action, do you mean have the city go in and
yes, sir,
protect
as directed
it.
In
now,
the
I don't
previous
have a lot
order.
Of trouble with that. Do you own other real estate in Marion County?
I'm sorry?
Do you own other real estate in Marion
no, sir.
County?
No, sir.
I don't know why they don't have a findings of fact in here.
Yeah, I remember it. It was, it's a very pretty house, or at least it was at one point in time.
Yeah.
You know. I think I'm going to leave this one like it is. I mean, the city has a legitimate interest in stepping in there, cutting those locks, and stopping the infestation of mosquitoes and all the other stuff.
The order was to find respondent guilty of violating code section 3432, 3495, 34141 through 145 to clean up the property, removing any junk and debris, drain, treat, and all standing water collections on the property and cover the pool. Additionally, to register and maintain the property in accordance with the property and registration and maintenance ordinance, pay the cost of prosecution as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day per violation, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien after 90 days of non-payment. Refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. That
yeah,
was on the 6th.
Mr. Greer, I feel sorry for the situation you find yourself in, but I do think they have a public safety and healthy safety and health issue going in there. And just because your bank has chosen to lock you out of it, I can't let the neighbors have those continuing problems. Yours is probably not the worst one on the planet in terms of it, but. If I have to start splitting hairs between the condition of one pool and the next pool, I can't go down that road. It's like me trying to split hairs with these signs, you know. I'm just not going to do it. And so I think I'm going to find the violation continues to exist and let the order stand as it is. Yeah.
I'm not sure that means for me.
It doesn't really mean anything.
Well, that's why I was asking if there's other real estate, you know. It would attach as a lien to any other real estate you bought in this county. And I just wanted to make sure I wasn't screwing up your life with some other problem.
Okay. All right.
So I think I have to leave this one as is.
Okay.
Thank you, though. Appreciate your attention.
If it pleases the magistrate, we'd move on to CON 120667, a case involving Officer Matt Leibfried. The City of Ocala versus Ricky A. Preston, a location at 1708 Northwest 4th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. Excuse me. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. Section 82181, the definition of a dangerous structure, and Section 82182, a dangerous building declared a nuisance abatement required. Also a violation of Section 82443, display of building numbers. The parcel ID is 2260-106-005. All certified mail has been returned. The property was posted on 4-5-2012 for the notice of violation and 4-19-2012 for the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Matt Leibfried located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown, contains junk and debris, and the structure is in dangerous condition and does not display the required building numbers. All attempts by Officer Leibfried to have the respondent remedy the violations have been unsuccessful and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included photographs of the condition of the property as it sits at the location. Staff recommendation would be to find respondent guilty of violating code section 3495, 82181, and 82182, as well as 82443, in order to cut and clean up the property, properly removing any junk and debris, secure the residence or building, ensure the house and postal address numbers are applied to the residence in accordance with the code, and pay the cost of prosecution of the case all as assessed, all within 14 days. Failing which a fine of $25 per day per violation, the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. There is representation on this case.
Okay, I want to look at one more thing before
and
I start talking.
Please prepare to answer any questions you may have.
I'm looking for your evaluation sheet.
We did not have a structural evaluation because we could not gain access to the interior of the property.
Well, that's what I was looking at, because the ridgeline and the eave are miraculously straight for a structure that needs maintenance as bad as this one does.
I don't know. The band joists across the bottom may not be But
well, I was looking at the board popping out on the side at the baseboard level.
We also have no meter there.
I see there's no meter, but houses aren't dilapidated because they don't have meters.
I think that at some point we will have a structural performed here.
Probably. Okay, well, let's see who's here and wants to tell us what's going on with this property. I mean, you do have to concede the ridgeline straight. Good morning.
Good morning.
Be sworn in and let's talk about this.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You state your name and address,
please. I'm Janae A. Young.
Okay.
Ricky Preston, that's my fiance. He's locked up, and everything is on me, which I did everything. I called down here on the 26th, because I, he found the paper, and I'm had my son and family come over and they did the yards and I went out my pocket and bought the boards because I didn't know what all needed to be done. I see this, but I don't know what it means. So I called and to find out everything I needed to do. And they told me if I do everything in one day, I talked to the lady on the phone, she said, I call back the next morning, they come down and look at it again. I stay in Marion Oaks. So I'm trying to avoid all this back and forth, let's get it all done in one day, call them in the morning, they come look at it. I was trying to not have to come to appeal.
Okay.
So I did everything, and I'm being honest with you, I'm fighting crackheads.
Mm-hmm.
His brother done got out of jail, think he could stay in it, and when they say boarded up, that was a relief for me. Because I done called, who did I talk to on the phone? I called him, I don't know how many times, had to let the cousin next door, he's on crack. Everybody want the crackhead brother to stay in there, but the place is unlivable. No running water, the front door, you can just walk in, it don't lock. So when he said boards, that was a relief for me. And a relief for him, because I kept in contact, letting him know what was going on. So I did everything in one day, out my pocket. Late on that night, before I went in, I'm tired, go in, I go to check on it to make sure, because the brother already told me he's going to kick the boards in. I gave him time, the little stuff you got in there, get it out of there. I'm telling you what these people saying. Ricky gonna lose his property if he don't bolt it down and get the yard clean. He didn't want to give me no helping hand. That's still cool. Wound up having to call the police that night because he took the board off the front door, the front window. But I did get everything else done. So I had to call you back the next morning saying I was hoping it was gonna be good news so I didn't have to come here today. But had to let him know. I called the police. Police said they can't do nothing. I showed them the paper. They say only thing they can do is wait on the 28th, because that's the date you have on here. Now, on the 28th, when I leave here, I'm going back. Let them know I done came here. And he already know what the police said, because his crackhead cousin come over to listen, to give him the news. I want him to go to jail. That's where he need to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being honest with y'all. So, as it stand now, the day is the 28th. I'm going to call the police back up, escort him out, and board the front back up. Everything else been done. The yard's been, you heard him working on the phone. My son and a friend of his did the windows, did the doors, and all we have to go back and do now once the police get him out of there is the front door and the front window.
I think our order would let her give her time to accomplish that. So.
I mean, I'm by myself, my
Well, let me get straight. You're asking that it be declared a nuisance, which simply, in your terminology, means you want it secured.
Yes, sir.
Not destroyed.
No, sir. I want the property secured.
And I did all that. So it's extra money for me today.
Okay, I understand. What are you going to do with this thing?
Really, what his plan is for this is really, when we get the finance right, is to take that whole house down.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's what he want to do. Once he get himself straight, that's our plan, is to take the whole house down. But, the finance is not right yet to do that, so, we want to save the property. So that's why when he said board it up, I was fine with that.
What if I save you the trouble of boarding it up and we find that it's a unsafe, whatever it is, structure and direct the city to tear it down for you?
You
it's the same code.
Is it going? What is it going to cost us, though?
Well, it's going to cost you if you tear it down, too.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, tearing it down isn't just a matter of going out there and put a bunch of boards in a pickup truck. You got to get the big containers. You got to pay the landfill. You got to do all that stuff. And if the object is to get this thing out of here, let's get
it
out of here.
His brother, he's gone. He's way gone.
Well, can I have your permission to tear it down?
Well, I mean, I'm only
if you'd rather go to the trouble of boarding it up and then later having us tear it down, or you tearing it down, I'd just as soon get on with it and tear it down.
But I prefer for him to say that. You know what I'm saying? I'm just
okay.
Okay. I'm fighting his daddy, his cousins. I just want to, whatever it takes to save the property.
You're quite
You're
quite the warrior.
We're trying to save the property because our plan in the future put something nice on it.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, I'm going to adopt the staff recommendation, which directs you to get it secured, not tear it down yet.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
If he was here, I'm pretty sure he'll say yes, but yeah, you know, I can't speak.
But he's not visiting today. He's not visiting with us today.
Yes. I know he'd have been glad to have a hand, you know, to have a hand.
Okay. Well, we'll do what you want in that case and go from there. How long is it she has to get it secured?
14 days.
14
I
days.
Okay. I had it done, Tuesday? What's the 26th? Mm-hmm. I just had to wait on the 28th.
Here we are.
So now I can go back and call the police and
there you go.
It back up.
You're on.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate you coming by.
Thank you, and I'm nice to meet you.
Okay.
With police magistrate, we start at the beginning of the agenda on page 2.
Yeah, we aim to please.
I'm sorry, the docket.
Okay, let's get back to the beginning.
CUM 12-1098, a case involving Officer Lorraine Kennedy. Will be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator.
I see that.
This is a case at 1943 Northeast 24th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 24548-006-00. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 5/16/2012 for the notice of hearing. As part of your additional correspondence, we have a copy of the original findings of facts and the affidavit of partial compliance in the first case. The summary of findings that Officer Lorraine Kennedy located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code in that it is in overgrown condition and contains junk and debris. Additional investigation revealed the property was brought before the CEB, Code Enforcement Board in 2011 and found guilty for violation of Code Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included photographs at the end of the presentation, and the staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 as a repeat violator per Chapter 16204 of Florida Statutes in order to 1. Cut and clean up their property, probably removing any junk and debris. And 2, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days. Failing which, a fine of $500 per day in the city to do the work, utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. I'd also point out to the magistrate that there is no representation to speak to this case here today.
Did that rather lush lawn do it on its own, or is that seeding?
I think that's just summer in Ocala.
Wow. That's some good soil.
We've had a lot of good rain.
Okay, I'll adopt the staff recommendation, so ordered. I mean, that is some real grass.
That brings us to the middle of page 3 of the agenda, CUM 12-0799. This is a case involving.
I got it.
Officer Dan Baker, the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division, versus Lisa Chillo Trust and Aurora Loan Services, LLC. The location is 30 Southeast Wiona Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. Violation of Section 3495 weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 28363-003-03. Legal service was obtained on 4/11/16 of 2012 for the notice of violation, and 4/30 and 5/2 for a revised notice of violation, 4/30 and 5/2 for a notice of hearing. We posted the property on 4/9/2012 for the notice of violation, and 4/27/2012 for the notice of hearing. Additional correspondence in the case would be a Sunbiz report and a copy of the less pendants. Mm-hmm. Summary of findings: that Officer Dan Baker located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure, and Officer Baker added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Baker enabled the registration requirements to be cleared up. However, the bank has not complied with the overgrown and junk and debris conditions and violations of the code. All attempts by Officer Baker to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Part of your presentation, we've included photographs of the violation. Staff recommendation being find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 in order to, one, cut and clean up the property, properly removing any junk and debris, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 14 days, failing which, fine of $50 per day in the city to do the work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. I'd point out to the magistrate that we do not have any representation for this property at the hearing today.
Mm-hmm. You have a standing open door, probably two open doors, on your page 6 of 9 in your photos. Is this an unsecured structure?
I would have to refer to Officer Baker for this.
No, actually, one of the doors is actually the hot water heater room.
Okay.
The other one is, they're just too little, that they can't access the property.
The interior structure?
Okay. Two doors. No.
Is this inside the historic district?
Yes, sir. And just for the record, because if it's just a cut and clean on the property, there would be no certificate of appropriateness required for it.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, is how much you were biting off there. That's exactly what I was wondering.
Just cut and clean.
That's a shame. Okay. I'll adopt the staff recommendation, find the property in violation.
That'll bring us to the bottom of page 3 on the agenda, CON 120354. This is a case involving Officer Raymond Furry. The City of Ocala versus the Tabernacle Economic Development, Inc., 900 block of Northwest 1st Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2844-029-015. Legal services obtained on 5/23/2012 for the notice of violation, 5/23/2012 for the notice of hearing, and we posted the property on 3/14/2012 for the notice of violation, and 5/17/2012 for the notice of hearing. As additional correspondence, we've included a copy of the Sunbiz report and tax deed.
Tax deed?
Yes, sir.
Okay, is that how the Tabernacle acquired it?
Apparently so.
Okay.
The summary of findings: that Officer Raymond Furring located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. All attempts by Officer Furring to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. The staff recommendation would be find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, order to cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, and pay the cost of prosecution in the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. We've also included photographs of the condition of the property.
One second, let me just look at one thing.
Or lack thereof. Officer Furring is prepared to answer any questions of the magistrate.
The property appraiser's office does not show the physical location of the parcel. Is the parcel at this 1120 Southwest Silver Springs? No, it's not.
No, sir. 900 block of Northwest 1st Street.
Yeah. 1120, 900 block.
Is
Yeah, I'm going to find the violation exists and adopt the staff recommendation. I just was curious here. Let me look at one other thing. Trying to get down here to the SunBiz thing. Okay, let's go on to the next case.
That'll bring us to the top of page 4 of the agenda, CON 120355, a case involving Officer Raymond Furring. City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division, City of Ocala versus Tax Certificate Redemptions. A location in the city at 104 Northwest 9th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2844-027-001. All certified mail has been returned, and we posted the property on 3-16-2012 for the notice of violation. 4-5-2012 for the notice of hearing, 5-18-2012 for the revised notice of violation and notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence, we have placed in the file a copy of the findings of fact in the first case and the affidavit of partial compliance in the first case, a copy of the SunBiz report as well. Officer Raymond Furring located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. All attempts by Officer Furring to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. We've included copies of the photographs, the condition of the property as it appears out there currently, at the end of your presentation. Staff recommendation would be to find respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 as a repeat violator per Chapter 16204 of Florida Statutes, 421, cut and clean up their property, properly removing all junk and debris, and two, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day, and the city to complete the work utilizing all means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Officer Furring is prepared to answer any questions.
First of all, I'll find the violation exists and adopt the staff recommendations. I'll make the suggestion to you.
Yes.
Either when this one runs and becomes a lien or even before, I think your city attorney can bring a foreclosure complaint based upon all the liens against all the property this owner has and take it all in one massive sweep, and we can quit holding hearings on these guys.
Yes, sir.
Because they're obviously not here to participate as citizens of the city of Ocala. And that would be my recommendation to your attorney to consider.
Yes, sir. That brings us to the next case on Jim, to CON 120585. This is a case involving Officer Raymond Furring in the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division. City of Ocala versus Florence Roosevelt. The 1500 block of Northwest 17th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2195-085-000. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 3-30-2012 for the notice of violation, 4-19-2012 for the revised notice of violation, and 5-2-2012 for the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Raymond Furring located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown and contains junk and debris. All attempts by Officer Furring to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. We included copies of the photographs at the end of your presentation. Officer Furring is prepared to testify in this case. The staff recommendation would be find respond guilty of violating City Code Section 3495. Order them to 1, cut and clean their property, properly removing any junk and debris. 2, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days. failing which a fine of $25 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Violation exists and adopt the staff recommendation.
And point out for the record that there is no respondents here for the last two cases.
All right.
That brings us to the next case on the agenda, CON 12-0388. A case involving Officer Matthew Lightfree, the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division, City of Ocala, versus Thomas Vernon Mansour. A location of the 2000 block of Northwest 4th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, violation of section 3495.
Is 27th Avenue what we call Shady Road?
Way down south.
Yeah, crosses it the Burger King on 200.
South of
okay, that's the same street. Okay, yes. All right, gotcha. I know where we are.
Okay. The parcel ID is 2260-146-027. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 3-9-2012 for the notice of violation and 5-1-2012 for the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Matthew Leibfried responded to this location due to neighbor's complaint, and upon arrival, observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown and contains junk and debris. All attempts by Officer Leibfried to have the respondents remedy all the violations have been unsuccessful, and the violations remain. Staff recommendation would be find the respondent guilty of violating city code section 3495 in order to cut and clean up the property, properly removing any junk and debris, to pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed all within 14 days. Failing which a fine of $25 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. I would point out for the magistrate that there is no representation for this property here today.
Mm-hmm. There's North Carolina lawyers practicing law in Florida. Yeah, I find the violation exists and that the adopt the staff recommendation.
That brings us to the top of page 5 of the docket, CON 12-0848, a case involving Officer Matthew Lightfree, City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division, the City of Ocala versus Michael Dozier and Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., a location at 2309 Northwest 24th Road, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash and other unsightly and sanitary matter, and section 34-141-145, property registration and maintenance requirements for properties in default. The parcel ID is 22444-031-00. Legal services obtained on 4-23 and 30 of 2012 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 4-24-2012 for the notice of hearing, 4-27-2012 for the revised notice of hearing. As part of your additional correspondence, we've included a copy of the findings of fact and the affidavit of partial compliance in the first case, Les Pennant's report, final judgment, and a bank letter. As part of the requirements in this case, we would require the bank to register the property. The summary of findings that Officer Matthew Lightfried located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown, contains junk and debris, and is not registered as required. Additional investigation revealed the property has had many other cases, the last in 2011 for a violation of code section 3495 and 34141 and 145, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. All attempts by Officer Lightfried to have the respondents remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violations remain. As part of a friendly amendment here, if it pleases the magistrate, I need to ask the code officer a question here. Matt, was sure. Wells Fargo the respondent in the previous case as well?
Yes.
Okay. As part of a friendly amendment, I would request that we amend this case to delete the 34-145 and 141 through 145 due to the fact that that was not previously complied with by this respondent. Therefore, it would not qualify that charge as a repeat violation.
So you're trying to go back to the I'm sorry, I got confused in what you
although we would cite them again for the 3495 because we brought it into compliance, they would be in repeat violation to that charge. They would not be in repeat violation.
On this case, okay. I
right.
Got you. Okay.
on the 141 through 145 because they did not previously bring that into compliance. According with a repeat violator clause, they would have to have brought that
that's your fault.
Compliance in order to repeat the violation on it.
You got such an old magistrate, he can't keep up with
As part of the staff recommendation to be to find
Wells Fargo.
I'm sorry?
Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is unable to identify this property. Please provide us with a complete address, et cetera, et cetera. That's an I didn't try very hard letter, or I don't want to try at all. Surely your citation has the address of the property on it.
Yes, sir. They send those to us fairly routinely.
Yeah, that's a we don't want to try. Okay, let me look at it. It's not an awful property.
No, sir.
Okay, continue.
Staff recommendation to be find respondent guilty of violating code section 3495 as a repeat violator per chapter 16204 of Florida statutes in order them to, one, cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, and to, two, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day, and the city to complete the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Violation exists. Adopt the staff recommendation.
That will take us to the bottom of page 5 of your agenda. CON 120958.
Bottom of page 5 is 958. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
This is a case involving Officer James Vo, the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division, the City of Ocala versus Donna and Leland McCullough, and Chase Home Finance, LLC. The location is 1853 Southeast 38th Court, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3432, Water Collections, and 3443 and 145, Property Registration and Maintenance Requirements for Properties in Default. Excuse me. The parcel ID is 2955-008-019. Legal service has been obtained on 4-5-2012 for the notice of violation and 4-6-4-5-2012 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 5-1-2012 for the notice of violation and 5-13-2012 for the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the SunBiz report and the property registration. A summary of findings that Officer James Vaughn responded to this location due to a neighbor's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure and Officer Vaughn added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Vaughn enabled the registration requirements to be cleared up. However, the bank has not complied with the water collection violation. All attempts by Officer Vaughn to have the response remedy all violations have not been successful and the violations remain. The staff recommendation be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3432, 34143 through 135 in order to drain or treat all standing water collections upon the property and cover the pool, additionally maintain the property in accordance with the property registration maintenance requirements, and three, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 14 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day per violation and the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Okay. Question. Looking at the location map, which appears at page 3 of your document,
Yes, sir. The
dark gray is the city, the light gray is the county. This property appears located in the county.
Let me just see where you're at here. This is clearly in the city limits of Ocala.
Okay. I'm just wondering what the color differential is.
Partial ID would indicate that as well to me.
Okay. Just a question.
No problem.
Okay. I find the violation exists and adopt the staff recommendation.
That'll bring us to old business. and the consent agenda for the non-compliance hearing. I would point out for the magistrate that we have resolved CON 120593, and we removed that from the consent agenda.
Okay, you're going to enter a separate order on that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. I'll adopt findings of non-compliance and imposition of liens on all of those.
Thank you. And that's all I have.
Okay. We'll complete the record with everything you put today.
Yes. Please, the magistrate, if we could have all evidence, testimonies,
in the record.
Included in the record.
You got it. Anything else for anybody? Okay. It's not even lunchtime yet.
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you.